This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala ama ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think we had a little bit of homework, didn't we? We said Surah Al-Baqarah. What were the verses? Verse number, let me just get it in front of me here. I think Baqarah was 29 to 39. Right, so we have 10 verses from Surah Al-Baqarah and 10 verses from Surah Al-A'raf. And these 10 verses are dealing with the humiliation of Iblis and the honor given to Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam. And in both narrations of the story, in Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-A'raf, we have it exactly in that order. The humiliation of Iblis after he refused to prostrate himself before our father, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, and then immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Nabi Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, Ya Adam uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. Just ajna'in. You turn it down. So the ulama, they say, the fact that first is the humiliation of Iblis after he refused to prostrate himself before Adam, and then the honor of Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam directly thereafter, shows that the humiliation of Iblis took place before the creation of Hawa, in both narrations of the story. In Surah Al-Baqarah, قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا. This is in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 18 and verse 19, and then the other one of the expulsion and the entering of the Jannah is Surah Taha. Surah Al-A'raf and Surah Taha. In Surah Al-A'raf, قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering Iblis, get out from here. And I think we touched briefly on the fact that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says مِنْهَا, from it, and ha points to the fact that the word that is being referred to is a feminine word. So immediately we think of Jannah. Whereas, we always find these differing opinions. Jannah is one of the opinions, that he was in Jannah. The other opinion is that it's referring to his manzila, to his station. Because Iblis had a high station. He was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ranks of the archangels. So, قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا get out from here. Meaning, get out from it, from your station, your manzila, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا. Cursed and disgraced. لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Indeed, those who follow you, I will fill you and them, I will fill Jahannam with you. With you and them. Those that follow you, I will fill Jahannam. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمْ. Here the lam here is for affirmation. Most certainly, I will fill. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ. The lam and the noon with the shadda on. Whenever you see those two letters, the lam and the noon with the shadda, coming on either side of a word, you know it's double affirmation. That most certainly, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ, I will fill Jahannam, مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, with all of you. With you, Iblis, and those that follow you. So there in Surah Al-A'raf is the humiliation of Iblis, and then immediately thereafter, يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. O Adam, now uskun from sakana yaskunu means to be still. Although some scholars say it means that Adam must now go and live, him and his wife must go and live in Jannah. According to the hadith that is narrated in Ibn Kathir, that they already were in Jannah. That they already were in Jannah. But which Jannah? Jannatul Ma'wa, which is the Jannah of the hereafter, or some Jannah in the Sama somewhere that Allah was preparing them in for the dunya, or was that Jannah on a high place in the dunya? I tend to incline towards the opinion that it was in the earth, this Jannah. A high place from where they had to get down after they had eaten from the forbidden fruit, but it was a high place on the dunya. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says, going back to Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-A'raf, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And call to mind when your Lord said to the angels, I'm going to make in the earth a khalifa. He didn't say I'm going to make in the sama, in the heavens, a khalifa. He said, I'm going to make in the earth. That's before he created Adam alayhi salam. So he created him from the earth, in the earth. Jibreel had to take from every single type of soil, and from that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him. There is no mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking that soil up into the heavens and creating him and putting him in a garden in the heavens. There's no talk about that. The word that used is al-jannah. But the word jannah, garden, is used for many stories in the Quran. Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah. You know, in Surah Al-Qalam, indeed we tested them like we tested the people of the Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the gardens of Saba, Jannatan. You know, the two gardens in Saba, in Sheba. So the word Jannah is not only used for Jannatul Ma'wa, which is the garden of abode, of refuge in the hereafter. And many of the scholars say, how could it be the garden of the hereafter when Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam disobeyed Allah therein? And how could it be the garden of the hereafter when they eventually were taken out of the garden? Whereas the garden of the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will not ever leave it. وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرَجِينَ. And they will never leave it. The people that enter the Jannah of the hereafter, the garden of the hereafter, will never ever leave that garden. Yet Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, they left the garden that they were in. So that's why I'm inclined to believe that Allah created our father Adam alayhi salam from the earth, in the earth. If just we go back to that. So in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ عِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. And call to mind when your Lord said to the angels, I'm making in the earth a vicegerent. And in Surah Al-A'raf, وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We have firmly established you in the earth. وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشَ. And we made for you therein a life. Meaning food and clothing, etc. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Little do you give thanks. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. And indeed we created you and we fashioned you and we said to the angels, bow down before Adam, and they all bowed down except for Iblis. He was not of those who bowed down and prostrated. So it was in the earth. Again, this is open for debate. We have no dalil, qati', clear-cut evidence that it was the Jannah of the hereafter or it was an intermediate or transitional Jannah in the heaven somewhere or that it was a Jannah on earth. In fact, Ibn Kathir, his opinion is just to say, Allahu A'lam. They were in a Jannah, we don't know where it was. So, from these two verses, Surah Al-A'raf and Surah Taha, I just wanted to take the from Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-A'raf, just to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stresses the fact that He created the vicegerent, where? In the heavens? No, He created the vicegerent for what? For the earth. From the earth, and He put him in the earth. Then we go back to Surah Al-A'raf and Surah Taha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala juxtaposes those two events. The refusal of Iblis to prostrate himself, and then the expulsion of Iblis from his rank. From his rank. Again, Iblis couldn't have been in the Jannah of the Akhirah either. Because the Jannah of the Akhirah, nobody can disobey Allah therein. And those that enter the Jannah of the Akhirah, they will never leave. In Surah Taha, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى فَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌّ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَظْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. And then, وَيَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. So that means, that one is from Taha. Okay, so the ulama say that in both instances, humiliation of Iblis, after refusing to bow down before Adam, and only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam to stay. I'm using that word specifically. To stay in the Jannah. To stay in the Jannah. Uskun. Sakana yaskunu. Which literally means to be still. So Allah created him from the earth, put him in the Jannah. He was alone. Now here comes something very important. He was alone. Adam alayhi salam was alone. Allah taught him after He created him. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. We've already covered that. That Allah taught him the names of everything. Not of everything in the heavens and on earth. Only Allah has that knowledge. But He taught him the names of everything. أَلَّتِي وَقَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ حِسُّ. On which his senses fell. So Allah taught him the name of the sky, which he could see, taught him the name of the trees, taught him the name of the animals, the names of the animals, on everything on which his senses, everything he saw, everything he heard, everything he could taste, everything he could touch. Allah taught him the names of all those things. But now he's alone. He is alone. And then when we get to in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ. So in between Iblis's refusal and then his subsequent humiliation of being cast out of the service of Allah, and in between Allah telling Adam and Hawa alayhi salam to stay in the Jannah, in between those two events is the creation of Hawa alayhi salam, our mother. So, if we are to speak about the creation of our mother, then quite clearly, she has been created from our father. Again, there's debate. The scholars love to debate. But clearly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. O mankind, fear your Lord, be mindful of your Lord, who created you from a single soul. And then he created from that soul a partner for that soul. Now, خَلَقَ, to create, Allah can create something from nothing. Especially if he uses the word خَلَقَ. And that's why some of the scholars argue that they were created individually, first Adam and then Hawa, from the same turab, from the same dust. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse, in particular, Surah Al-A'raf verse 189, instead of using the word خَلَقَ, he uses the word جَعَلَ. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسِ وَاحِدَ وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. It is Allah who has created you from a single soul. And then not he created, then he made from that soul a partner for that soul, that he might find repose in her. Now this is very powerful. When khalaqa is used, khalaqa can be to create from nothing or from something. But ja'ala only from something. When ja'ala is used, ja'ala yaj'alu. In other words, something from something. If Allah says ja'ala, then he is making something from something. You can't make something from nothing. But you can create something from nothing. Jazakallah khairan. So, khalaqa can be creating from nothing. Whereas ja'ala, it is something from something. And there the ulama say that when ja'ala is used, it is to create something from the thing that was originally made. In this case, Adam alayhi salam. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a single soul, and then he creates a partner from that soul for that soul. So, which part? From which part has the partner been made? Well, the hadith is quite clear that As-Suddi reported from Abu Salih and Abu Malik that Ibn Abbas, and who's Ibn Abbas? The greatest of the Mufassirin from amongst the Sahaba, the nephew, Afwan, the cousin, we say in Afrikaans, Dinnakhi, the cousin of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, although he was much younger than the Prophet. He was the son of Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas. And the Prophet made special dua for him, Allahumma faqihu fi al-din wa'alimhu al-ta'wil. Oh Allah, give him understanding in the religion and teach him the interpretation of the Quran. So when Ibn Abbas narrates something, then we better listen up. That Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud and other companions said, Iblis was expelled from paradise and Adam dwelt therein. Iblis was expelled from paradise and Adam dwelt therein. We've said that is a debate that can continue amongst the scholars. You can choose. He wandered around in it alone as he had no partner. This is Ibn Kathir that we are reading from. We are reading from Qasas al-Anbiya of Ibn Kathir, Bidayah wa Nihaya. So authentic narration. He wandered around in it alone as he had no partner. Now immediately, so he's not going to Jannah. He was alone. Allah created him where? In that Jannah. Wherever that Jannah is. We have no clear-cut evidence as to where it is. I'm inclined to believe that it was on earth. An elevated garden. Actually, in fact, what's very interesting is that, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, that the word paradise comes from the word firdaus, which is a borrowed word in Arabic from the Persian. And firdaus means a walled garden. An enclosed garden. And according to the Old Testament, according to the Jews, there is a Firdaus Adna and a Firdaus A'la. Because we also believe in Jannatul Firdaus Al-A'la, which is the highest place in the Jannah of the Akhirah. The highest place in the gardens of the hereafter. Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. Whereas they believe that the Garden of Eden on the dunya was this Firdaus al-Adna, the lowest Firdaus. Firdaus meaning an enclosed garden on the dunya. And like the Prophet said, حَدِّثُوا عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَوْ حَدِّثْ عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَا حَرَجْ. Narrate from the children of Israel, no problem. لَا تُصَدِّقُوهُمْ وَلَا تُكَذِّبُوهُمْ. Don't believe them nor belie them. Unless they are speaking batil, then we belie them. But if something is narrated, we don't have clear-cut evidence because so much of the Torah has been corrupted. So much of it has been tainted. Things have been added. Things have been taken out. Things have been changed, taken out of context. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ أَمْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. But when it comes to these details, it's interesting. It's interesting to see what are the opinions, and to read those opinions is no problem, but to take an opinion that contradicts the Quran and the Sunnah, that is where we draw the line. We will never take an opinion or even entertain an opinion that would contradict the Holy Quran or the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I just wanted to make that very clear. So he wandered around in it alone, and he had no partner. This is coming from Ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud, and many of the other Sahaba. So, if he was wandering around in it, in the Jannah, wherever that Jannah was, alone, and Allah says, "Uskun anta wa zawjuka al-Jannah," does it mean go into the garden or stay in the garden? What does it mean? Stay in the garden. Because he already was in the garden. Who? Adam alayhi salam. But he's alone. He's alone. Once when he woke up from his slumber. So he's in the garden. He's alone. Allah has taught him the names of everything on which his senses fall. And then one day he goes to sleep. According to this hadith, he goes to sleep. When he woke up from his slumber, he found a woman sitting near his head. He found a woman sitting near his head. Makes me think of that funny thing we always say, Die Frau kan op jou kop sit, maar sy moet net stil sit. Just a joke for the ladies at the back there. Right. So he woke up and he found a woman sitting near his head. Now the word used in the hadith is imra'atun. The word used in the hadith is imra'atun. Now imru'un is a man. Imra'atun is a female. The difference is ta marbuta. And that's interesting. Why? Because it's from the same being that she's been created. She's just been made a female and he is a male. But she is from him. Once he woke up from his slumber, he found a woman sitting near his head. Allah had created her from his... Well, it says here ribs, but that's an incorrect translation because it is min dila'ihi, meaning from a rib, not from his ribs. Imagining like a rack of ribs there at the spur, you know. No. Min dila'ihi, from his rib, not ribs. If we had to add min dila'ihi, min adla'ihi. Adla' is the plural of dila', dila'un. So the hadith specifically says, min dila'ihi, from his rib. In some narrations say the left rib at the top, where it is most curved. Where it is most, I don't like to use the word crooked, because then the ladies think we're saying they are crooked, you know. Instead, the min a'laha, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a hadith coming, very beautiful hadith, which is often used derogatorily against women. But I would actually like to turn that on its head tonight and actually show you that it's a beautiful hadith in praise of women. So he wandered around in Jannah alone, as he had no partner. Once when he woke up from his slumber, he found a woman sitting near his head. Allah created her from his rib. Adam asked her, "What are you?" I think many men are still asking that question today. "What are you?" She replied, "A woman." He further asked, "Why have you been created?" She replied, "So you can seek comfort in me." I think this is so, so very powerful. Because in both verses, وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا, he made from that single soul a partner for that soul so that he might find comfort, repose, tranquility in her. And I'm sure the ladies will be thinking, well, it goes both ways. And true, yes, it does go both ways. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the philosophy of the garment, that hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. They're a garment for you and you're a garment for them. What's the philosophy behind a garment? Number one, comfort, protection. I like to say it like this, adornment. Our clothing is there to adorn us. So with that comfort that we provide, we're supposed to bring out the best in each other. Clothing is also there for protection. In the summertime, from the harmful rays of the sun. In the wintertime, to provide warmth. And right throughout the year, our clothing covers those parts of the body that no stranger should see or even know about, for that matter. So we should... And that all together, that protection, that warmth, that covering up, I think through all that, that peace and tranquility and safety and security, emotional and otherwise, is found between husband and wife. But I think what is important for women to understand in terms of her ability or the attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted specifically to her, that she has the ability to truly bring peace to a man, to truly bring tranquility to a man. If he's troubled, if he's disturbed, if he's upset, if he's irritated, if he's confused, then Allah has given her that ability to bring calm to him. And in the same breath, she has the ability to press a button and for him to explode. And I've thought long and hard about this, because we always talk about how a man should put a woman on a pedestal. And I agree with that 100%. And I know my wife is not here to testify either for or against me, but it's something that we work at every day. It's something that we work at every day. And I've often thought to myself, what comes first? Putting the wife on the pedestal, and once you've done that, then she provides that comfort and peace and tranquility. And I've looked around in society and at the nature of man, and I've found that that's putting the cart before the horse. And they go hand in hand. Please, our sisters mustn't misunderstand me here. That I believe if a woman fulfills that purpose for which she's been created, to be that place of comfort, to be that place of repose, of tranquility for her husband, in his time of confusion, in his time of difficulty, in his time of worry, in his time of anxiety, then by default, if he is a person that believes in Allah and the last day and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then by default, he should put her on a pedestal. But her saying, listen, I'm only going to be a comfort for you, otherwise I'm going to be on your case. I'm going to work on your nerves, and I'm going to scold you, and I'm going to do everything to irritate you until you put me on the pedestal. And that is where husband and wife basically fall out with each other. I think for a woman to realize the special purpose, because only she has that ability to be that, because a man, for example, a man is the breadwinner. He's supposed to be. A man is supposed to be the breadwinner. That's why a woman, whatever she earns, she can keep for herself. But a man, he is responsible to clothe, to feed, to educate, to house his wife and their offspring. He is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as the maintainer. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Men are the maintainers of women. So, after having a hard day at work, he must look forward to going home. That home is where his heart is. As soon as he walks through that door, the thing that he is looking so much forward to is seeing his wife's face. He's, mashallah. He's like, you want to get married now, eh? Yusuf, Dad, don't look at him like that. One day, inshallah, one day. Not too soon, not too soon. So, when he's looking forward to getting home, he's looking forward to seeing his wife, because that's his repose, that's his comfort, that's his peace, that's his tranquility. And that is why he must treat her better than anybody else. Doesn't be speaking all. Thank you, Kathy. Linda. Yes, I'd love a cup of tea. Thank you very much. Oh, this tea is absolutely delicious, lovely. And when he gets home, salam, fast made tea. Oh, this kiko flow is the tea. Make me another cup. Astaghfirullah. He's a lion. He's a lamb outside. He's a lion in the home. No. So that's why I want the sisters to to clearly understand that I'm saying it goes hand in hand. She must be that comfort, and he must be that kindness. He must give her that kindness and that honor and that respect and that love that she deserves as his comfort. I mean, how can something that has been created for comfort be comfortable if you are always making it uncomfortable? So it's the one for a woman to embrace this beautifully. Look at the other verse. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. It's not just for Adam and Hawa. It's not only Adam that's been made as a place of, as a means of comfort for Adam. Allah says, and from his signs, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that he's created from yourselves, partners for yourselves, that you might find comfort and peace and tranquility within them. And that's why, you know, they say a happy wife, happy life, no? So it's for a woman to embrace that beautiful purpose. And we're talking primary. We're talking about primary. We have primary purposes and we have secondary purposes. This is a primary purpose for a woman to be that place of comfort for her husband. And then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Or here in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra, fa innal mar'ata khuliqat min dila'in, wa inna a'waju shay'in fi dila'i a'lahu, fa in dhahabta تقيمه كسرته وإن تركته لم يزل أعوج فاستوسوا بالنساء خيرا." هذا لفظ البخاري. This is a hadith in Bukhari. It's authentic hadith. Authentic hadith. Before I translate that hadith, I want to complete the first hadith. So once when he woke up from his slumber, he found a woman sitting near his head. Allah created her from his rib. Adam asked her, "What are you?" She replied, "A woman." He further asked her, "Why have you been created?" She replied, "So you can seek comfort in me." The angels, who were well aware of the extent of Adam's knowledge, asked him, "What is her name, O Adam?" He replied, "Hawa." Hawa with ha. Ha, waw, alif, hamza. Hawa. I mean, hamza, and you just cut off the air. Hawa. They asked, "Why Hawa, Eve?" Adam replied, "Because she has been created from a living thing." لأنها خلقت أو جُعلت من شيء حي. She's been created from حي. حي. حيٌ means a living thing. حيٌ. That's why Allah is الحيُّ, the eternally living, cannot die. The eternally living. Al-Hay. But that's only for Allah, with the Alif and Lam. Al-Hay. Whereas, Ana Hayyun, Wa Anta Hayyun, Wa Antum Ahya'u. I am a living being, you're a living being, and you're all living beings. Ahya'. That's the plural of Hay. Hayyun. So why is Hawa called Hawa? Because she's been created from something Hay. Does that make sense? Did you know that before? Alhamdulillah, learned something new tonight. So Hawa means created from a living being. Hawa. Muhammad ibn Ishaq narrated from Ibn Abbas that she was created from the smallest rib of his left side. While he was sleeping, Hawa was being created from this Hay.
This is now hadith.
Yes.
What is the any Quranic kind of
only that she has been created from him. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And he created from the single soul, which is now body and soul, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put his soul into his body. He was walking around in the Jannah, according to the hadith, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his partner, Hawa alayhi salam. So, in the two verses, خَلَقَ مِنْهَا جَعَلَ مِنْهَا. He created from it, from the single soul. He made from it, from the single soul. زَوْجَهَا, its partner. That's all we have in the Qur'an. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Tonight we're going to put this idea of the crooked rib being something bad, we're going to put that on its head, inshallah. So we're getting there, inshallah. We're getting there. So, Muhammad ibn Ishaq narrated from Ibn Abbas that she was created from the smallest rib of his left side while he was sleeping. Then that empty place was filled with flesh. The opinion is confirmed by the following saying of Allah: O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife. So they give that ayah as a reference. As far as the detail is concerned, the details in the hadith, not in the ayah. Allah mentioned another verse: it is he who created you from a single person, and he has created from him his wife, in order that he might enjoy the pleasure of living with her, or find comfort in her. That's just a difference in translation. Abu Huraira narrated the Prophet said, treat women nicely. Ladies, inshallah, we're on your side now. We're on your side. Treat women nicely. I mean, Allah says in the Quran, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ. She's been created. She's the place of refuge. She's the place of comfort. When you're having difficulty, when you fall, I'm not being physically, but I'm saying when you fall, she's the one there to pick you up. I mean, this is, we all know, this is, our wives, by their nature, even if they're scolding and skelling and complaining and moaning, when, you know, when times get tough, then they are the first ones there. You know, it's like the captain on the ship and the, please, I'm speaking English now, and the first mate. You know, in the British Navy, you have the captain, first mate, second mate. Why I say I'm speaking English? Because if I'm speaking Afrikaans and I say first mate, dan vra nou wat van die tweede mate. So please, I'm speaking English. I'm speaking English here, okay? So we've got the captain. Now the captain, well, the captain's duty is to steer the boat, to make sure that the boat arrives at its desired destination. And that's the husband's job. The husband is supposed to lead. He has to lead by example. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Those of you who believe, save yourselves and your families, your wives, and if you have your children, save them from the fire. Its fuel is men and stones. Now why is Allah speaking directly to the men? Telling us to save ourselves. Quite simply, Allah is telling us to save ourselves first. Not because we want to go to Jannah first. Because Allah wants us to fear Him first. Allah wants us to be mindful of Him first, as men, as husbands and as fathers. Allah wants us to make sure we're implementing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our lives first, in order that we can be a practical example for our wives and our children to follow. This is the meaning of being the captain. And you can't have two captains on one ship, because then there'll be mutiny on the Bounty, and the captain will get thrown overboard, and the ship won't arrive at its desired destination. So, the father, or the husband, which is often given, in the story of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, the father is given the similitude of the sun, and the mother is given the similitude of the moon. Why? Haven't you thought about that? وَالَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءَ وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا. It is Allah who has made the sun as an illuminating light. and the moon as a reflecting light. وَجَعْلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعْلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا. And he made the moon in the heavens, meaning in the sky, which we see every night. He made the moon, not every night, except when the night is, except when the moon is being born, then we can't see it. But he has made the moon therein as a reflecting light, and he's made the sun as a lamp bearing light, siraj. وَجَعْلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعْلَ الشَّمْسِ سِرَاجًا. Why? In the story of Nabi Yusuf, وَإِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِسَاجِدِينَ. Oh my father, and call to mind when Joseph said to his father, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, oh my father, I see in a dream that 11 stars and the sun and the moon all prostrating to me. The sun, the 11 stars are his brothers, and the sun is his father, and the moon is his mother. And why is the father the sun and the moon the mother? Because the light has to begin emanating from the father and then reflected off by the mother. And I know in reality, in terms of how people are living their lives today, that in a lot of homes that's not happening. And then the woman literally becomes like the sun. She leads the way. And she sets the example. But that's not her role. Obviously, if the husband's not doing it, if she wants to save her children, she must do it. And perhaps even he will eventually feel shame and he will follow her example. That's happening in many homes. But I'm speaking in terms of roles and responsibilities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the man to lead and to lead by example. He must be the siraj, he must be the lamp bearing the light, and the wife in turn follows that example and reflects that light. And reflects it onto who? Onto the children. That's why the lap of the mother is the first university. A mother has far more influence over children in terms of their upbringing than what a father has. A father has to teach them discipline, yes. مَا نَحَلَ وَالِدٌ وَلَدًا أَفْضَلَ مِنْ أَدَبٍ حَسَنٍ. No father has given his child any better gift than good manners. So, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَ وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. So, the woman has been created so that man might find that peace, that tranquility, and that repose from this crazy world that we live in. And they together then raise that family in the shade of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But here in this hadith, the Prophet specifically says, "Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra." He says, treat your woman nicely, kindly, with goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof." Live with them in goodness. Live with them in kindness. So this is why I say it goes hand in hand. How can this man expect this woman to be a comfort for him if he's going to be unkind to her? How can he expect this woman to be a comfort for him if he's going to treat her nastily, disrespect her, swear at her, abuse her, shout at her, be rude to her, humiliate her? So it goes hand in hand. She is that comfort for him. And he, because of this, she has now embraced her role, her primary role. Before the children even come on the scene. Before the children even come on the scene. She's embraced this role of being a comfort and a place of refuge and a place of tranquility for her husband. If he be a man of Allah, then he will celebrate her, he will treat her with kindness, And he will not try and change her in any way. Now listen carefully what I'm saying here. Jazakallah khair and barakallah fi. Just got a few minutes left. And here we go about the crook, about the rib. Listen to this. Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. Treat women nicely. Treat them kindly. Treat them well. For a woman is created from a rib. And the most curved portion of the rib is its upper portion. The most curved portion of the rib is right at the end. So I know if the Prophet ﷺ is now referring. Well, in terms of the hadith in general, we understand what he's referring to. He's referring to the nature of a woman. He's referring to the nature of a woman. A woman is not a man. And in this crazy world that we live today, I mean, my mother and I had a discussion. Let's call it a discussion. A slight disagreement, but a discussion. Because my mother is a manager at a, estate agency. She runs the office. So I said, you mean manageress? She said, no, there's no such thing as a manageress anymore. I'm a manager. But I said, Mom, you know, why must you now, in order to be accepted, in order to be respected, why must you now take on the title of a male? I mean, I'm talking linguistics now. Manager, manageress. Mudir, mudira. Mudir in Arabic, mudir, manager. Mudiratun, manageress. Why? Because the one is a male and the one is a female. But no, women are now assuming the titles of men and the workload of men and the jobs of men in order to be equal with men. And I think this is completely, utterly wrong. A woman must be respected and treated as a man's equal without her trying to be like a man. Yes, physically, emotionally, and psychologically, women are not equal to men. Spiritually, 100% equal. Let's get this right. Spiritually, according to Islam, men and women are 100% spiritually equal. The good deed of a man is 100% equal to the good deed of a woman. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرِنَا أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا وَلَنَجْزِعَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Whoever does a good deed, Allah says, whether it be a male or a female, and they are believers, then Allah will grant them a good life in this world and reward them according to the best of their deeds in the Day of Judgment. Allah make us of them, Ameen. Male and female. إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ I don't even know if I have the order correct, but you know that famous ayah. I think it's in Surah Al-Ahzab. That famous ayah. Yeah, Allah SWT shows men and women spiritually. When it comes to spirituality, when it comes to good deeds, 100% equal. But physically, emotionally, psychologically, they are not equal, but there's equity. What's the difference? Equity in the sense that Allah has been fair in His distribution of attributes based on roles and responsibilities. So Allah has given attributes to a female so that she can fulfill her primary role and responsibility. And that is to be the comfort and the caregiver of her husband and her children. That's the primary role. The primary role. Man, on the other hand, has been given the qualities and attributes so that he can go out and be the breadwinner. And that he can make the decisions after consulting with his wife and children. After consulting with his wife and children. I'll repeat it three times like the Prophet did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after consulting with his wife and his children, that he will ultimately make the decisions that are going to be in the best interest of the family. In order to save himself and his wife and his children from the fire which fuel his men and stones. So there's equity in terms of the attributes, the distribution of attributes. The man has been given certain attributes so he can fulfill his role and responsibility, and the woman has been given certain attributes so that she can fulfill her role and responsibility. But in it comes a great test for the man. And that a woman has been created with a unique nature. She's an emotional being. She very often thinks with her emotions. I heard a doctor once giving a lecture, and he was saying that between the so-called intellectual brain and the emotional brain, there's a bridge in both the male and the female, of course. The difference being that the bridge between the intellectual and the emotional brain of the male is a very narrow bridge. Whereas the bridge between the intellectual and emotional brain in the female is a very wide bridge. I'm obviously explaining it in very simplistic and mundane terms, but you can go and do the research on the actual science behind it. So, in other words, there's often that emotional interference, more so in a woman than in a man. And that's why ultimately the man is responsible. Listen to me carefully. It doesn't make him better than his wife. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ. And for the women are the same rights of goodness that they have over their husbands as their husbands have over them. And for the men there is a degree above. Immediately the men start saying, you see, Igazi O, Igazi Bas, Igazi Sultan. But that's not what it means. All the Mufassirun agree, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ فِي الْمَسْؤُولِيَةِ, that the men have a degree above in one thing and one thing alone, and that is in responsibility. Their burden is heavier to bear. They're going to be answerable for more on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِي. This is the heavy responsibility of leadership. In all of you are shepherds, and all of you are going to be questioned about your flock. That's why a man will even be questioned if he allows his wife to leave her home uncovered, adorned for other men to lust after. A man will be answerable on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah for that. But let's just finish this hadith and then we'll complete our class for the night. Treat women kindly, he said. Treat them nicely. For a woman is created from a rib, and the most curved portion of the rib is its upper portion. If you try to straighten it, you will break it. So here, a man has been given the position of leadership. His wife is there to be his place of comfort, tranquility, peace, and repose. But he has to tolerate her nature of being this emotional being, of being this person that has been created for companionship. And I think, and I'm also guilty. I have to start with myself, lest my wife should hear about this talk and then, sort me out afterwards. I'm also very guilty of this because I grew up, I had two sisters, and so for me to be alone is no problem. I sometimes like just to be alone. Just like Nabi Adam alayhi salam was walking around in Jannah alone. But our wives, women, have not been created to be alone. And I think sometimes, we think, I like being alone. Why doesn't she like being alone? And this is the nature of a woman. A woman wants attention from her husband. And her being that place of comfort, her being that tranquility, that peace and repose, she deserves for her husband to give her that attention. I'm saying big things tonight, eh? You're recording this for Fahmida, eh? She deserves to have that attention because she has been created for partnership. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And he made from that soul, from the same substance, He made from that soul a partner for that soul. She has been made for partnership. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا, that he might find comfort in her, that he might find peace and tranquility in her. But then he has to provide that partnership that she requires in order for her to be that comfort that he desires from her. And at the end of the hadith says, فَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقَيِّمُ, if you try to bend that bent, curved, let's not say crooked, that curved part of the rib, if you try and bend it straight, says the Prophet ﷺ, كَسَرْتَهُ, you will break it. وَإِنْ تَرَكْتَهُ, and if you leave it, it will still stay أَعْوَج, it will stay curved. It will stay, I want to say the word, but I don't mean it in a bad way, it'll stay crooked. But that is man celebrating the nature of woman. Accepting the fact that she's been created differently. And he, as the leader of the family, has to accommodate her. He has to tolerate her. He has to celebrate her for those special attributes that Allah has granted her. And at the end again he says, فَاسْتَوْسُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا, treat women nicely. That's how Allah has created them. And that is that she's a garment for you and you're a garment for them. She's affectionate to you and you are affectionate to her. She's a comfort for you and you are a comfort for her. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all to be a comfort for each other, to grant us the peace and tranquility in the dunya, and grant us inshallah to be companions in the Jannah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Until next time, I leave you fi amanillah. Yes. No, not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. It wasn't necessary, because that creation, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. لا يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. So Allah brought them together in nikah. It was, for the lack of a better term, almost by default, because they were created for the purpose of procreation. And thereafter, and inshallah we'll go into that next week, actually not next week, when we speak about Qabil and Habil, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paired them off, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Hawa various sets of twins, and how they had to marry the twin of their sibling. The twin of their sibling. So this was the order that Allah created, an order which is unacceptable today. You can't have two sets of twins and they're marrying each other across the twinship. That was for that time. But thereafter, and we don't know when, Allahu A'lam, when the aqd of nikah came into being, the actual contract of marriage came into being. But because what you have is, and this is something I mentioned in the khutbah the other day, you have la ilaha illallah, which is the belief. That's tawheed. There's no God but God. There's none worthy worshipped except Allah. And that from Adam all the way to Muhammad, immutable, doesn't change. But at different intervals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought new laws. So for example, there's the Noahide law. La ilaha illallah, Nuh Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, the belief, Nuh, shir'atan wa minhaja, the law and the way. Time of Nabi Ibrahim, La ilaha illallah, Ibrahim Rasulullah, the law and the way. Abraham, the Abrahamic law. Time of Moses, Mosaic law, shir'atan wa minhaja. Time of Nabi Isa, In fact, even in the New Testament, the Christians quote him as saying, "Nobody shall come unto the Father. I am the way and the life," he said. "I am the way and the life." And for the time of Nabi Isa, that was true. There's no God but God, and Jesus is the messenger of God. He would have been shir'atan wa minhaja for his time, the law and the way. And with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the belief stays the same. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad becomes now the completion, the perfection, and the culmination of the law and the way. So what do laws entail? Laws entail exactly what we can, when it comes to Sharia, we have ibadat and mu'amalat. So we have worship and we have transactions. So worship would be like prayer and giving charity and fasting and going on pilgrimage. Whereas transactions would be things like getting married, getting divorced, buying, selling, things like the freeing of slaves in those days, things like engaging in military jihad, etc., etc. So that would have come with the law. As to when that, like you say, the first nikah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with which prophet Allah sent aqdun nikah, maybe something that inshallah I can research if there is any information from the previously revealed a book, something interesting for us to look at. But exactly at which prophet the contract of marriage came into being, Allahu a'lam, Allah knows best.
Just one more question.
No problem. Yeah.
Nabi Isa wasn't married. What is Shia's opinion?
Yeah, we don't have any evidence that he was married. We don't have any evidence that he was married. What we have in the hadith is that he will come back and he will marry. He won't come back as a Nabi, of course. Isa will descend and he will marry. That's what we have in the ahadith. But as for him getting married when he was on the dunya, there is nothing in the Quran or in the Sunnah to indicate that he married. Allahu a'lam. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You can go home to your comfort now.
From here on, it only comes.
we must
debate this for now.
But
it makes sense the way I put it across now, in terms of
it's
going hand in hand. Because as a woman, that's what the women of today want first to be put on a pedestal
before
they provide any comfort. And comfort includes, and something I have to go into.
Disclaimer.